This is Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3
102.1. This is Dr. Bob Fitrakis in the studios in the Carriage House here at 1021 East Broad Street. And we're asking you today to consider occupying the courthouse, or the courthouses plural. But here in Franklin County, we got some choices. So occupy the courthouses. And what about moving to amend the U.S. Constitution so we can slay the evil creation of Dr. Frankenstein, that is, the undead corporation, the multinational taking over the world. And to inform us today, we've got...
Today we have with us Karen Hansen and Michael Greenman. They are co-founders of Move to Amend Central Ohio.
Welcome, Karen and Michael.
Thank you.
Tell us what's going on here in January.
Well, first of all, we have an event coming up on Friday, January 20th, which is Occupy the Courts. And we have a lot of activist groups, including our own, working with Occupy Columbus to occupy the courts. And this will be at the federal courthouse on January 20th. And this is in observance of the second anniversary of the Citizens United Supreme Court case.
What time are people meeting? And is there a meetup location somewhere prior? Or are we just telling people to be there all day and hold down the courts?
We're starting at 3 o'clock at the Federal Court Building on Marconi. And we have speakers who will be there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And at 5 o'clock, we'll wrap up and we'll head over to the Progress Ohio office on East State Street.
So should people bring sleeping bags?
No, we're not doing a long-term occupation
here.
But we are supporting our friends who are doing that at the State House.
Okay, so no sleepover at the courts. But what programming will you have on Friday, January 20th?
We'll have a lot of speakers, and we will be calling for several immediate initiatives, including reform of our immigration system, a moratorium on foreclosures and bankruptcies, a reform of our criminal justice system, and for stopping any limitations to our voting rights. And then our long-term ask is to amend the Constitution.
And the amendment of the Constitution is the necessary result of over 100 years of corporations being given more and more power by the courts. We, the people, get our rights through legislation, through the Constitution and the subsequent Bill of Rights and amendments. And now corporations have access to most of those amendments and to the Constitution as the result of court decisions. So the purpose of this Occupy the Courts is to highlight the fact that all of these powers that have come to corporations and these rights have come from the courts, not from the legislative system.
Michael, are you suggesting that unnatural citizens, corporations, shouldn't have the same rights as flesh and blood human beings?
Well, yes, I am, actually. Yes, what a thought. What a concept that corporations would not. Of course, our Republican vice presidential candidate, Mitt Romney, has assured us that they are. So we need to demonstrate with an amendment eventually that in fact they are not.
Well, let me paraphrase George Romero, who created the zombies. When there's no more room in hell, the corporations shall rule the earth.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, indeed.
But, I mean, we're talking about some, this is an incredibly important topic in the agenda itself. We could do a whole show on all of these. I mean, you see a connection between corporate personhood, Citizens United, and the attack on what I believe is the largest attack since the Jim Crow era on the voting rights, primarily of minorities, African Americans, Latinos, which goes in the immigration rights, and poor people. What's the connection there?
Well, they're all linked together. Citizens United was just the most recent large headline item that was sort of the straw that broke the camel's back. But there's a string of Supreme Court decisions going back to 1807 and perhaps even before, with a big one in 1886. Don't need to go into all the details now, but every one of them increased the power of corporations. Citizens United, in effect, gave corporations and unions, we have to say, because unions are included, but the amount of money they have to spend is so much smaller than corporations, it really isn't so much of a factor. But it gave corporations the right to spend unlimited money on election advertising, not to the candidates, but for advertising either in support of or against any candidate in any election.
And to keep that pretty much anonymous.
Anonymous, exactly. So basically, with that, we have no democracy. It's gone.
And speaking of the 1%, studies before it was anonymous indicated that 1% of the population was giving 90% of the money, and that was before Citizens United. Yeah. We can only imagine what percent it is now.
Yeah. 99.
Right? why do we need to occupy the courts?
Well, they've sort of had a free pass. They have not. It has not been pointed out that it is the courts that have created this. You know, we have to struggle for anything we get as people, for an amendment to the Constitution, and of course for the Constitution to begin with. It's been heavy duty struggles in wars or whatever the case to get our rights. And here, corporations have those same rights just handed them on a silver platter by judges, or I guess by judges, not by juries so much, or several cases maybe of juries, but mostly by judges who have given them those rights.
Especially at the federal level. So we really believe that the courts have overstepped their bounds here. They don't have that much power bestowed upon them by our Constitution. There's supposed to be a balance between legislative and judicial, and we've lost that balance. So we now have 9 people in long black robes that are deciding who our president is in one case, mm-hmm. and other things about how our country is run.
But is this how the Constitution and the framers envisioned it? Corporations would be all powerful?
Absolutely not. In fact, corporations are not mentioned in the Constitution. One of the foundation reasons for our independence was exactly to escape from corporations. We were under the arm of the British East India Company that had imposed taxes against the best interests of businesses in the United States. And when we got our independence, we also got rid of all of the British Crown colonies. They were corporations. Every one of our 13 colonies was a corporation with a governor who was basically the king's manager. And we got rid of them, and we created a constitution of, by, and for the people within which corporations are not mentioned. Corporations were specifically assigned to states to charter. And boy, the charters that were first used with corporations were very strict and very specific in what corporations could and could not do, and they could have their charters canceled for very, very specific reasons.
Yeah, if you operated outside of it, it was ultra-virus, and they pulled your charter, right?
Exactly.
It was a privilege to operate in the state. They restrained them in terms of what they could do, how long they could exist, and how much capital they could raise.
And they had to be a service. They had to provide a service to the people, to the society.
And now, in Ohio, if you want to start a corporation, all you have to do is say that, in the corporate charter, it's for any lawful purpose. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't have to be within a certain restricted, it's not unrestricted, basically, the purpose.
Well, I just hope the mob doesn't find out about this, because they would set up a lot of dummy corporations and then they already do. But anyway, let's not look too closely at these corporations.
Yeah.
Who knows what we'll find.
So here, in Ohio, we have instances of fraud where people will set up corporations just as a shell company and as a front for fraud. And we see that in the No Child Left Behind funding.
Absolutely.
And in our elections, in the support of Supreme Court justices or against Supreme Court justices, as you very well know.
It's, you know, where's the money really coming from? And often, usually, you can tell by the name if it's coming from the Chamber of Commerce. It'll be Citizens for a Strong Ohio or some other name. And all this money is being hidden. It is, in a sense, the same type of money laundering that we've seen in racketeering and in organized crime. And how are you going to stop that?
Well, that's what the amendment would do. Karen, do you want to describe that?
Yes, and this is being promoted by a number of groups, but especially by Move to Amend, and Public Citizen is also involved. And this is the only way that we can overrule or have overruled a Supreme Court decision, and that is through a constitutional amendment. So not an easy process. It's a long-term process, but we would like to see a constitutional amendment that puts an end to this concept or this fiction of corporate personhood, and also that would include the fact that money is not the same as speech.
And so the constitutional amendment that you're seeking is for the U.S. Constitution, is that right? It's not
correct.
The Ohio Constitution or state by state. It's But
we would need state support for
okay,
it.
Okay, so we
yes.
have... So that is the goal of Move to Amend Central Ohio, is to get our state on board with a U.S. constitutional amendment. Is that right?
Yes, and we will work with local politicians also and local municipalities to for resolutions on this issue and educate around this so that we can eventually work on our state legislators to support this. And then, of course, we have to work on the federal legislators.
So this would be one of the two methods we have available under the Constitution to amend it. One is within Congress, they can propose an amendment. We don't think that it's likely that legislators who are dependent on corporate largesse for their well-being and their elections are likely to vote for that without some pressure. The other is that it comes from the states, which means from the grassroots. So that's the chosen avenue for this amendment. And here in Columbus... we want to do what a number of other cities have already done, and this I have to say, I think is very much a result of Occupy Wall Street having had so much publicity. We already have resolutions in some major cities that have been signed, stating exactly the words that are in our Move to Amend amendment, which is basically corporations are not persons and money is not speech. And Los Angeles was the last big city that did it. Duluth, actually, more recently, just 2 days ago, Boulder, Colorado, Missoula, Montana, Madison, Wisconsin, and Dane County, rather, with the state of Vermont having legislation in the state legislature to propose that. So as these come out, each one, unfortunately, does not usually get national coverage because mainstream media does not get behind these things. So you hear about them through web and through this sort of radio program. It's hard, but luckily the web is very powerful. The word's getting around. So in Columbus, we want to do that too.
And there is a third provision within the amendment being offered by Move to Amend, and that is that these restrictions will not restrict the press.
And also, the press itself is actually mentioned in the First Amendment.
Yeah.
Unlike corporations,
good point,
which are not. And that's often a scare tactic used by the... and we're really talking about the multinationals or transnational corporations, publicly traded, who... we're not talking about small corporations here that really won't be affected by this. But... these large corporations, which quite literally have so much capital,
right,
so many resources. I remember looking, the 100 largest economies in the world, the last time I looked, 52 of them are transnational corporations,
right,
larger than the 200 or so nation states in the United Nations. That's what we're talking about, isn't it?
Absolutely
yeah. Yes.
Yeah, small companies, this is one of the things we have to deal with in talking to people. They say, well, I don't want to lose my personhood rights. And we say, well, are you making use of them today? Are you going to court to protect your personhood rights? And, well, no, not really. Then it won't affect you. The ones that
about Fitrakis, Goodell, Newton, and our LLC? We're not doing much with that.
This is Fight Back.
Siding with you people.
This is Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3, 102.1.
It's often been said the greatest enemy of the small business or small corporation is the large corporation.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely
it's
correct.
Tough out there.
Look at the WTO, formulated by the 500 largest corporations in the world, all U.S. corporations, and totally undermine the rights of small businesses and small corporations.
And it's the same thing for unions. Unions are specifically part of the corporate identity, but unions have so much less capital available to them compared to corporations. And, of course, they are also a democracy, I hope, most unions anyway, so that they will be able to, through their own people and through their own structure.
Well, they can build out their leadership.
Absolutely.
And I don't recall corporations ever calling on their shareholders to vote out their CEOs.
Correct.
So in many ways, this is a small D movement to democratize the United States, expand voting rights. What about reforming immigration? You worried about that being controversial?
Well, it is controversial, and unfortunately, it comes back to the press primarily, I suppose I'd say the media, being influenced by corporations to a great extent to give fear to the question of immigration. The words that always come up when we talk are ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, and of course SB 1070 in Arizona. What I'd say 90% of our public don't know is that ALEC, American Legislative Exchange Council, is sort of the power behind the throne. It's one of the most effective, most strongest organizations in this country today, and it writes, it consists, first of all, of corporate CEOs and senior management and state legislators, and together they write templates for legislation that is then passed around the country. SB 1070 and all the others that come out of the states these days, trying to put stronger penalties and limitations on immigration, the voter suppression bills that are coming out all over the place, and, of course, our own SB 5 here in Ohio and all the others around the country, they're all out of ALEC.
And they are templates, right? They get them right off the shelf.
Absolutely.
And this group, like the secret money, ALEC is very secretive.
Yeah.
No transparency. They don't want you to look at the public policy that they're making.
I've got a very short story I like to tell about this. I was at a democracy convention in Madison in August, and one of the speakers was the head of the Senate, Democratic Senate group in Madison, in Wisconsin, and he had been to an ALEC meeting. I don't know how he got in, but he got kicked out after a while. But he attended one of the meetings, and the keynote speaker spoke to the group in these terms, and I can say it almost verbatim because it struck me so much. So look around the room, he said to the groups there. Look at the you, the legislators. This is like a sports team. You are the players. And the corporate managers, the corporate executives, you are our managers. And that was almost word for word the way he described ALEC.
Yeah, except he left out managers and owners.
I guess so.
I mean, they're bad. Because like a sports team, right, you have the highly paid performance. But who gets the bulk of the capital and mm-hmm. does the least amount of work? The owner managers.
CEOs.
Just to go one step further on the immigration, Corrections Corporations of America, one of three private prison managing companies, their lobbyist was one of the people in the government in Arizona who promoted the passage of SB 1070, and immigration arrestees need to be put in federal prisons. This was a blank sheet permission for Corrections Corporation of America to start building additional prisons in Arizona and other states with the other companies, because they knew they would have new customers that would pay them $200 a day through the federal government for every migrant arrestee, whether guilty or not, who spends a day in prison.
But and this is a company that referred to its prison cells as profit units and is publicly traded for profit on Wall Street.
Yep. wonderful business.
Yeah, it's really atrocious to see companies building more and more prisons just so that they can fill them up and make profit off of it. Yeah. It really doesn't reflect the, I think, the goals of even the penal system of, you know, punishment or rehabilitation. It's just a containment system. It's just a storage unit for human beings.
Absolutely. And at the same time, they're not going after the corporations that really have created this whole paradigm whereby we don't hire here locally. We incentivize people bringing people across the border. And we put, you know, our Mexican neighbors out of work. And just created a really bad situation.
And also leads to racial and ethnic profiling. Many mm-hmm. reports of American citizens mm-hmm. of Latino, Latina backgrounds being arrested. But there's a great irony, right? First of all, the corporations, the largest ones, push for NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement.
Right.
They push for, GATT. They push for these mm-hmm. free trade agreements. They move into Mexico, destroy the small business economy, flood workers across the borders, which Walmart, one of the biggest corporations, then hires illegally and knows it's hiring illegal workers.
Absolutely.
Takes advantage of a vulnerable pool of workers from another country, and then turns around and makes money in other ways. From arresting them, harassing them, or keeping them so scared they'll work for minimum and even sub-minimum wages.
Absolutely.
And because they're scared of being deported, they're very rarely in the news. There are people dying every day on the border, and there are families being split up. There was a story a few days ago of a woman driving home. I think she had a flat tire or something, and she was picked up by the Immigration and ICE. I always forget what the other mm-hmm. C is. She was found not to have documents. She was put in a detention center, not even allowed to call her family with two native U.S.-born kids, and she was deported.
Well, you know, I don't have documents either on me most of the time.
I knew it.
But I mean, that's where, you know, but I'm white. And so, like, a lot of this is a racial profiling issue.
Absolutely.
There are plenty of people who are Latino in our country legitimately who are American citizens who are falling victim to this. And they may not have papers with them. They have brown skin and maybe they have a little bit of an accent. But they may have lived here, you know, their whole entire lives and be
Absolutely.
Naturalized citizens or may have been born here, and they're coming under these policies and being targeted and sometimes deported. So it really, it's pretty disturbing. I hope that, I don't get pulled over on my way home because I won't have papers with me, but unfortunately the danger isn't there. There's the, you know, there's a lot of racism at work in this situation.
I spoke to a migrant group in California a few weeks ago about this whole thing, and he told me that some companies are actually paying what are referred to as coyotes, mm-hmm. the people who bring people across the border, to bring workers from Mexico, knowing it's illegal, knowing they have no recourse, and then employing them.
And exploiting them.
Exploiting them. If they lose their job, they're stuck. And that's one of the big problems. Migrants would like to come for a period to do a job and go back. Most of them probably don't have any wish to set up life here. They've got their families and their communities back home. They can't get back, partially now because of the additional issue of our security, our war on terror, closing of the borders to such an extent that you might be able to get in, but there's no organization to get you back out, except by deportation.
Say, open the borders and let people be. So, all right. So, we have Occupy the Courts on Friday, January 20th. And then what's happening on Saturday the 21st?
On Saturday the 21st, there'll be an Occupy the Corporations.
Okay.
And we're still working out the details for that event with Occupy Columbus. Probably will be downtown.
Okay. And so how can people learn more and get involved? Is there a website? or meeting space, a meeting place?
Well, for Occupy Columbus, of course, there's occupycolumbus.org. The Move to Amend Central Ohio has a Facebook page, it's Move to Amend-Central Ohio, and a website, movetoamendcentralohio.org. So there's lots, and the national Move to Amend, in case you're not listening in this area, is movetoamend.org, and you can get information on the Move to Amend affiliates all over the country by going to that website and link up with them and join the battle.
Stay tuned.
Great, great. So, so Occupy the Courts on Friday, January 20th, starting at 3 p.m. at the Federal Court in Columbus, Ohio.
Correct.
And Saturday, January 21st, will be Occupy the Corporations somewhere in downtown Columbus.
Correct.
And I hope that is... so it sounds like the planning is kind of to be announced, so...
We've got a lot of planning already accomplished for Occupy the Courts and just have to finish the planning for Occupy the Corporations.
And that seems to be right around Martin Luther King Day.
A few days after.
Yes.
Which is fitting in the fact that Martin Luther King's last battle in Memphis was, again, on behalf of struggling workers who really have been... Since his death and really the 1980s, this move to free the corporation. It seems like they've had a lot of advocates on their side to take what is literally a legal fiction. Connie and I learned in law school that corporations, right, the famous line, right, that they have no soul to save and no body to incarcerate. That these legal fictions have all these rights. Yeah. And really, it's been that way since the passage of the 14th Amendment. Instead of flesh and blood human beings, former slaves, getting their rights, they had to struggle massively while the corporations almost seemed to be, well, buying their rights through the courts.
Right, exactly.
The 14th Amendment in its first 40 years, I believe, had 200 approximately 200 cases that were in court based on 14th Amendment rights by corporations, and only 14 or 15 in favor of regarding African Americans for whom the 14th Amendment was written. So that shows the power that that they recognized and made full use of as soon as they were able to do that.
Right.
And for many of those decades, up until there was a change in the progressive era, they had the right to hire 4- and 5-year-old kids and chain them to a machine and overturn, as their basic right, their right to contract, the state governments that first came out to outlaw child labor. I mean, a lot of the stuff they want, company towns, you know, that they owned everything in the town and you couldn't leave. At Pullman in 1894, they chained the people in and they were starving to death. And luckily, the minister who had been bought and paid for snuck out and made a plea to the railroad union. But, I mean, the stuff that corporations got away in the heyday. And I'm not sure today isn't their new heyday.
So if corporations are people, I mean, they should be criminally charged. But like you were saying, Bob, there's no body to lock up and incarcerate.
I'm sure you've heard the statement, I'll believe in corporate personhood the day that Texas executes one.
Good point. chaining somebody to the machine that they're working on. If another human being did that to another human being, it would be highly illegal. It would be kidnapping or false imprisonment. And so what gives them the right to do that? I think they're not doing it now, but maybe they are.
Come out and find out again. Last word.
Absolutely. On Friday, January 20th, in the afternoon at the Federal Courthouse, Occupy the Courts. And we'll be doing food and education and fellowship afterwards at the Progress Ohio office.
What's that website?
It is movetoamendcentralohio.org. By all means, come and contact us and get in touch. We need all the help we can get.
Thank you, Karen Hansen and Michael Greenman, for being our guests on Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell-Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1.